Well, if you have your Bibles, I want to ask you to open those to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're continuing to journey through this epistle, discovering the truths that God has left there for you and I to be able to apply them to our lives and ministries. This morning, I just want to say danger alert. As you open there, I want you to know that as we look into God's Word this morning, we're going to be talking specifically about false teachers, false prophets, and it's where we are with the text this morning, and that's the great thing about preaching this way. You don't leave anything out. And so as we look at this, how many of you remember growing up? Days were a lot simpler. Things seemed to be a lot safer for our children, for our families. And at night, you could easily just leave your windows raised up, had the screen there. You didn't have to turn the air conditioner on. You could put a fan, box fan right there in your window, and you could just pull that air in to your house. You remember those nights, right? You felt safe doing that, didn't you? Let me ask you this. How safe do you feel raising your windows at night now? Do you feel very safe at all? Easily somebody could come into your home while those windows are up, and they could steal or plunder your home, and you would be none the wiser if they entered into a room that was away from your bedroom window, and they could just come in and they could just do anything that they wanted to, take anything they wanted to. And that's the world that we live in today. Alarm systems are great, and I appreciate those. There's a story that I actually read while I was preparing this. It's about redneck alarm systems. You ever heard of such redneck alarm systems? Brad, you'll appreciate this. Well, anyhow, let me tell you about this redneck alarm system. It's this guy who had gotten three grown Dobermans, and he placed them on the hood of his car. That's it. Redneck alarm system. Now, some of you will get that tomorrow and will appreciate it more. But that didn't go over nearly as well as I thought it was going to. That's okay. I thought it was funny, and that's really all that matters. Brad, it wasn't funny, was it? You thought it was funny. You just didn't want to laugh out loud? Okay, all right. So our modern alarm systems, listen, they have motion detectors. They're attached to our phone lines. And it, as you program those things in, the codes, when you leave your home, you come back in at night, you program them for safety so that when you're sleeping, you feel safe and secure at night, right? Let me share some statistics with you. Did you know that 99% of the phone calls that have to do with alarm systems to the police station are false? It's literally just someone punching a number in wrong. Invalid information. 99% of the time. And then some more, that the alarm company themselves say that 95% of the information that they receive, 95% are false alarms as well. It's user error, 95%. But let me share this. What about that 1%? Because that's the world we live in today, that 1%. I had a talking with someone this week, and there were some people going around their homes and breaking in doors into homes. And I'd heard about this and was getting this information, and somebody was actually going from one house to another, breaking in. And so they came to this one particular person's house. They kicked the front door in, and the lady woke up, and she ran hollering and screaming. And when she did that, they left the house. They didn't enter into it. They left running away. So you and I know that there is always a possibility for our homes to be vandalized, always a possibility for people to break in, especially in the world we live in today. But as we look into the Word of God, what I want you to see is how this correlates, the false teachings, the false alarms going off, and then these people in the Word of God that Peter was talking about specifically, these false teachers entering into the church. They were literally sneaking in such a way that you did not recognize them, or the church did not recognize them to be false prophets or false teachers. And so there are a couple of things that I want to submit to you this morning concerning the Word of God. I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of His Word, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 this morning. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Verse 3. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment hasn't been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, Lord, this morning in the matchless name of Jesus, we come before your throne of grace praising you for who you are. And Lord, we know that there are, in this world that we live in, there are those who claim a word that isn't from you. And I pray, Lord, that destruction would be swift upon those who don't proclaim the word of God. Those who take your word and they twist it and they contort it to meet the needs that they have for themselves at that particular time. Father, I pray conviction will be placed on the hearts of those who are using your word in an ungodly way. Father, that you would burden them to see the truth of your word, and that they might come to know Jesus personally as Lord and Savior. But Father, I thank you for those that we have here, those who love you, those who study your word, those who faithfully teach the Sunday school classes. Lord, that you would use them and that you would bless them. Lord, that their homes would be those homes that are truly can say that they fear the Lord. And Father, that they seek to bring honor and glory to you as they teach and study your word, or as they study your word to teach it to those who you place before them. And Father, so today what we ask is that your word will go forth, that it will not return void. We ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's been taking place for a long time. Understand that people have been taking God's word and contorting it and twisting it to mean what they've wanted it to for years. This is not something that's new. I know you see on TV, and over the last decade, over the last 50 years, let's say, you've seen many different people who have come on the scene, and they've led people astray by saying that, even going so far as to claim they were the Messiah themselves. God's word said there's going to be destruction upon those who make those claims, those false claims. And I'm thankful that my God's word is always true. Amen. Last week we talked about the infallibility of the word of God. And we have to believe that all of God's word is true. Amen. We have to understand that God's word is true. And so we talked about the prophetic word being confirmed last week through the scripture. And then he said this at the end of chapter 1, verse 21. He says, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." In other words, they moved and spoke as God moved them. And they spoke the words that God had laid on their hearts. But you have to understand that it never veered from the Word of God. It never veered. It never was something different than what you and I are able to hold in our hands today. And so as we look into these, as we kind of compare and contrast these false teachers, these false prophets with faithful teachers, I want to share some things that will open your eyes prayerfully, that you'll begin to understand that when you're out in the world, when you're out at your job and you hear people saying this or that, that you're able to understand through the Word of God and the conviction of the Holy Spirit that they're either teaching the truthful Word of God or that they're not teaching faithfully the Word of God. And my prayer is that you would understand that you would be able to see the whole truth of God's word, and that God would convict us in those areas. And so the first thing that I submit to you this morning is that you and I have to be able to avoid false teachers. We have to avoid false teachers at all cost. At all costs, we have to avoid false teachers. And so the word of God says right here, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies." But listen to this, "and even denying the Lord who bought them at a price, bought them through the blood of Jesus Christ." God bought them, purchased them through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, "and bring on themselves swift destruction." So we've got to be able to avoid false teachers. Now, Let me go on and share this. You may be tempted to think this morning that we have some of those in our church. And I'm going to tell you confidently that we have teachers teaching our Sunday school classes, that we have teachers teaching our children, teachers teaching our students who love God through Jesus Christ and who faithfully proclaim the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, we're blessed to have that. And we thank God. Listen to me. I thank God as your pastor for you being faithful to teach and proclaim the Word of God, the whole counsel of the Word of God, to those who sit under your teaching. Praise God for you. I'm so blessed to be able to call you a teacher at First Baptist Church. God has truly blessed us to have you. And let me say this. We lost a faithful man who had taught the Word of God, been in the ministry for over 60 years. We lost him, but heaven gained him. And so we thank God for those. Amen. And as we look at the Word of God, let's do this. Let's just honor Brother Stan and say, if you want to know what a true teacher of the Word of God is, then you should compare that person to the way Brother Stan taught the Word of God, because he was faithful to do this. And then you'll know what someone, as they sneak in, you'll be able to recognize them if you compare them to Brother Stan Smith in the ministry that he had for over 60 years, teaching and proclaiming the Word of God. And so we're blessed at First Baptist Church, but there are a couple of things that I want to share with you. As Peter uses this word, false, pseudo-didaskalos is the word, or pseudo-prophet, pseudo-prophetess. It's a prophet, it's a false prophet or a false teacher. They're much the same. What they're doing is, according to Peter, they were sneaking into the church to lead people astray. And so a couple of things that I submit to you this morning concerning these false teachers that you and I need to avoid. And the first thing is this: their message is dangerous. Their message is dangerous. Why is their message dangerous? Let me share, according to the Word of God, the reason their message is dangerous is because they don't acknowledge Jesus as Lord of their lives. And so this is what God's Word said: but there will also be false prophets among you, even as there are false teachers among you who secretly, and so they're sneaking in. This is what they're doing. They're coming in the back doors. They're mingling with you and I. They're sitting down beside us. And this is the world that we live in today. And then they come in because we've not recognized them. And then they end up teaching in our Sunday school classes or preaching in the pulpits. This is what the Word of God says. And so they secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. They're going so far as even denying Jesus as Lord and Savior. And the church, I'm not talking about First Baptist Church. We're on the watch. We're watching out. But there are churches across this country. There are churches across the world that are allowing these teachers to stand behind a lectern, to stand in the pulpits, and proclaim a message that does not revolve around Jesus as Christ. And we've got to have our eyes open to this fact. They are dangerous. They're secretly coming in. They're pseudo-teachers. And they're dangerous. God's Word said that we're to avoid them. You remember in the 1960s, this space traveler named the Robinsons, Lost in Space. How many of you remember that? I remember even as a child, this show come on. And one of the things that was interesting to me, that just tickled me, this robot that they had created, that they built, when there was danger around, he would do all of this crazy stuff and he would say, "Danger, danger." Do you remember that? We need that. We need someone. We need the Spirit of God to empower us in such a mighty way that when false teachers come and are among us, they secretly come in to divide, they secretly come in to preach a doctrine or a word that is not from the Word of God, we need the Spirit of God to burden us in such a way that we are not settled in our spirit. That we're just moving kind of all around the place until we, as a people of God, get rid of them. Because they're coming in secretly to destroy the kingdom of God. And so we've got to be paying attention. We need that. We need that spiritual smoke detector in our lives, the Spirit of God, to speak to us in such a way that we're able to recognize that. And so, listen to me. Even if you ever hear me preach something that's not found in the Word of God, you better be faithful to come and say, "Preacher, you're not preaching the Bible." Because if you don't do that, listen, then someone is going to stand before you someday and they're going to lead you astray. And it doesn't matter if it's me or someone else. You've got to have your eyes open to be able to know this. And so they're dangerous. This is what the Word of God says in Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. It says this, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecies of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Did you get it? God said this, you don't add to it or you don't take it away. In other words, it's perfect just the way it is. Just like it is. God made it perfect. And some of you agree with that, and maybe even some of you here this morning don't agree with that. But I'm telling you, I believe it, that this is the full counsel of the Word of God. And you and I need to live by it. We need to trust it. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to take away from it. And so there are a couple of things quickly as we look at these false teachers. This is what they're doing, legalism. They're literally adding to the Word of God. Much of that was taking place in Peter's day. In Jesus' day, as a matter of fact, what was happening was that the Pharisees were literally adding man-made laws and regulations one upon another. They were adding to the Word of God in such a way. Matthew 23 verse 24 says this, talking about these Pharisees and how they were adding to the Word of God. It said, "Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." In other words, they thought they were doing something good, but they were causing more destruction. And so we got to be aware of these things, even in our times. One of the to try and spot legalists today, Dr. Richard Mayhew, who was dean in pastoral ministries at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles, he kind of came up with a list to be able to spot some of these false teachers. And I want to just list six of them here this morning. Just follow with me quickly, if you will. I want to share this. They impose additional rules of Christian conduct not found in the Word of God. They're trying to add to the Word of God. Literally, just like the Pharisees were doing in Jesus' day. Or they were taking the Word of God and they were twisting it to mean something that it didn't mean altogether. And so that's one of the things that was taking place, imposing additional rules. Number two is this, they specify that the one English translation is the only authorized one, and that's that the King James is the only right Word of from God. Now let me ask you this, because I had this brought to my attention just a couple of weeks ago. What about those other countries who have the Word of God translated into their language, who it's not the King James language? What about those? Listen, there are those there are Bibles that you need to pay attention to. There are some that are false. There are some that adds to. There are some that takes away. But I'm going to say that the New King James, that the NASB, that the NIV, that the Holman Christian Standard, that these are those that you and I can trust are from the Word of God. And there are others that you can't put a lot of stock in. And so be aware of these things. The King James is a beautiful, beautiful scripture. It's poetry. But we don't speak that way today. And it's hard for our younger people to understand unless they've been constantly raised and grounded in that particular language. And so I preach out of the New King James. That's what I preach out of. I don't think what I'm preaching is heresy. I think I'm preaching to you the Word of God. of God. And so I hope you agree with that, that you believe that I'm preaching to you the Word of God as well. All right, what about this? Number three, forbidding certain kinds of entertainment. To the point that some of them believe if they're watching any television at all, anything on TV, that it's evil and they're going to hell. So the Passion of the Christ that was created to turn people so that they could see the Jesus video. Anything that we watch with our eyes on the television is going to cause you to go to hell. And so that's adding to the Word of God. I don't think that. I think that, yes, there is junk on the television. It's up to you to filter that for your children and for your family. But I think there are a lot of great things that we're able to be a part of over as we watch the television and we're entertained. What about this? Outlawing certain musical instruments or musical instruments altogether in the church. These are some of the things that he puts as you can spot that they're legalists. Another thing is number six, demanding one method of schooling over another. Listen, I'm a big proponent of homeschooling. I am a proponent of homeschooling. We don't homeschool our children, though. This is what I think. I think if you're able to homeschool your children, praise God. But let me say this, if we're raising our children in the church properly, if we're teaching them and raising them at home properly, then our children go into the school system equipped to tell those law students about Jesus Christ. And so I praise God for those opportunities. I praise God. And so you and I have got to be faithful to teach our children the Word of God. And so it's up to you and it's up to me to do this. And then collectively, it's up to us together. And so these are just some of the things that Dr. Richard has placed, just kind of things that you can spot whether they're legalists or not. Now, are these people, are some of these legalists, are they going to go to heaven? Yes. I think if they believe that Jesus is the one and only Son of God, that he died on Calvary's Hill. Listen, we add so many things to the Word of God. The most important thing, listen to me, is about salvation. And that's confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God has raised him from the dead that you might be saved. That's the most important thing. Understanding that you cannot take away from the grace of God. It has nothing to do with what you've done. It has everything to do with what he did. And so you've got to understand that. And the next thing is about not just this legalism, but the next thing is liberalism. And that's taking away from the Word of God. Oh my goodness, there are so many people in the churches today who are standing in the pulpits across this country and are preaching a gospel that is not here. They tiptoe around certain doctrines because they don't like to hear it themselves or they don't like the backlash that comes because they're proclaiming the full counsel of the Word of God. Like this, preacher, don't ever preach on gluttony because I'm a glutton. Listen, I eat too much too, but a sin is a sin. And gluttony is a sin. Another thing is about adultery. Listen, we don't like to talk about adultery, but adultery is real. And God says that it's a sin from the pits of hell. And we've got to talk about it. And then there's this thing called homosexuality. And we don't like to talk about it. It's not the cool thing to do. But God's Word says it's a sin. And so we got to talk about it. We got to talk about drunkenness. We've got to talk about all of these things. Lying. Do you know that lying is a sin? But we do it so good. And so all of these things are sin. And what we've got to do is we don't just pick and choose what we want to preach on. We've got to preach on all of it. I don't have an agenda against someone who has homosexual tendencies. I'm going to love them and I'm going to encourage them to trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior if they don't already know him. But it's just like someone living in a sin of adultery. Is that person still going to hell, to heaven, if Jesus is their Lord and Savior? Is a homosexual still going to heaven if Jesus is their Lord and Savior? And we've got to make sure that we don't separate the truth of what it takes to get to heaven. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so what we've got to pray for is we've got to pray for conviction with those for those who are are living in those kind of lifestyles, whatever it is, whether it's homosexuality, drunkenness, drug addiction, you know, all of these things are sin. Lying, stealing, coveting your neighbor's whatever, it's sin. And here's the thing, sin is sin. In our closing prayer in Sunday school class, we had a gentleman say, "Lord, we've got to love the sinner, but we've got to hate the sin." And that's what we've got to do. We love the sinner, but we hate the sin. And so we've got to pay attention to these who are adding to and taking away from the Word of God. Since 1985, there was a group, New Testament scholars, look at me, claimed to be scholars, who were meeting, and they called themselves the Jesus Seminar. What they did is they went through the Bible, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then they went through John as well. And they decided that they were going to sit down at a round table discussion, and they were going to work through all of the sayings of Jesus. Everything in here, the red letter words of God, and they were going to try and figure out whether it was really from the mouth of Jesus or not. Dangerous. Can I say dangerous? And so what they did is they got different color beads, and they said, here's what they did. A red bead meant that they believed that it was from the mouth of Jesus. A pink bead believed that it was probably from the mouth of Jesus. A gray bead meant that Jesus didn't say it, but was close to something that he might have said. A black bead was they didn't believe it was from the mouth of Jesus at all in any way, that it is not something Jesus would have said. Now let me say this. As they continue to meet, what they decided was that 80% of the sayings of Jesus Christ, the red letters in the New Testament, 80% of it, what they said was not from the lips of Jesus. So they either had a black bead or a gray bead. 80%, meaning that only 20% is from the Word of God. And so they claim to be biblical scholars, but to me it seems like they have no real relationship with Jesus himself. Personal opinion, not bashing them much, but that's what I believe. Listen, you know, I like Vance Havner, and he has a definition of what he says a scholar is. He says a scholar is someone who is educated beyond their intelligence. Amen. What Vance Havner said, someone who is educated beyond their intelligence. In other words, they've got no common sense and no faith in the Word of God itself. And so, you and I have got to be aware, legalists, they're taking away from the Word of God. Why? Because their motive is greed. So many times it's because their motive is greed. And so as we look into the Word of God, it says this, "And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed, but covetousness, they will exploit you." By covetousness, by greed, they will exploit you. The very reasons they come into the church is to exploit you is for greed. That's why. That's what they're doing. Their motive is greed. Let me give you an example of this. In the 1980s, how many of you remember Jim and Tammy Faye Baker? Yeah, you remember? Let me share some statistics with you, because this is one of the things that they did, and they asked for money, and they asked for money, and they asked for money, and I'm sure that some of you sent money to them probably at one time or another. But let me share some statistics with you that'll probably make you sick to your stomach. Let me share this. Over the course of their ministry in 1987, they were brought to trial, but they had mishandled, were convicted of mishandling $158 million. Let me share this, because this will really bless your heart. They had 47 different bank accounts. 47 different bank accounts. They had 6 mansions. They had luxury cars. They had an air-conditioned doghouse. They had $60,000 worth of gold-plated bathroom fixtures. They were exploiting God's people is what they were doing. That it was for greed. And overall, 114,000 people sent donations into them of $1,000, at minimum of $1,000, over 114,000 people. and they were ruled guilty. He was going to have to do 45 years in prison. He was out after five. He was on parole, but they had to pay it back. You know how much they had to pay back? $6.54 per case, per settlement. $6.54 per person taken advantage of. And so greed, these televangelists, you look at the television tube today and still the same thing. They're asking for your money. If it's truly to provide for the Word of God to go out, then God is going to bless that. I'm confident of that. But if they're not preaching and teaching the whole counsel of the Word of God, then we have to understand. This is what 1 Timothy 6:10 says. It says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." I believe that they were sincere when they started. I believe that. I believe their goal was to tell people about Jesus who died on the cross. But then greed began to take over. It happens. It's a real thing. And so that's why God said in 1 Timothy, he said, for the love of money. Not money's evil. Money can be used for great things to further the kingdom of God. Amen? But when we begin to fall in love with it, it's the root of all kinds of evil. And then it said, for which many have strayed from the faith in their greediness. It just kind of takes over. And so we got to be aware of that. So there are those legalism and liberalism, adding to the Word of God and taking away from the Word of God. And we've got to be able to watch it. And you and I have to know ourselves what the doctrine of the Word of God says. What the Bible, the Biblos, we talked about last week, what is found in the Word of God. We've got to have studied it like the Bereans did in Acts. We've got to study the Word of God to figure out if Brother Brad is preaching the gospel or if he's preaching something else. You've got to study that so that you'll know. And so here's the thing. I say all of that to say this. We've got to avoid false teachers, but we have to reward faithful teachers. We've got to praise God for faithful teachers. Amen? We do. And we've got those. We have those who are faithful to teach the Word of God. And so let me tell you kind of how we talked about some of those things that Dr. Richard said. Let me give you an easier way to spot a counterfeit teacher. A pseudo teacher. How many of you have ever seen a artificial $20 bill? Have you ever seen one? Do you know what it looks like? Looks like a $20 bill, doesn't it, on the outside? Most of us, if we looked at a counterfeit $20 bill, most of us would have no idea if it was counterfeit or not. Do you know how you get to know if it's truly a counterfeit bill? 20 is the most circulated counterfeit bill created. So do you know how we begin to truly know if it's a counterfeit $20 bill or not? I wish I had one, but I don't. Maybe you have a 20 on you, do you? I can borrow. I may not give it back. Here's the deal. You take that counterfeit and you put it beside a real $20 bill and you look at it and you learn what the real $20 bill looks like. You take it and you flip it over and you see the numbers and you see the lines and you see the paper that it's printed on and you know, you learn what a $20 bill, those of you who are looking, you learn what a real $20 bill looks like. That way when you get a counterfeit $20 bill, you will know that it's counterfeit. You're able to tell by what a real one looks like. And the same thing is true with the teacher. You're able to tell a counterfeit from a real teacher by what knowing what a real teacher of God's Word looks like. By knowing how they act, by knowing how they live, by knowing how they teach the Word of God. Do they leave it out? Do they add to it? That's how you figure out what a false teacher looks like. And I'm telling you, we've got them all over the world. And so a good teacher, this is what Titus chapter 1 verse 9 says. It says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict it. And so it's going to be someone who studies the Word of God to teach the Word of God. That's a real teacher of the Word of God. Someone who studies the Word of God to teach the Word of God. And then we've got to know that. And so a good teacher, literally, they declare God's words consistently. That's what a good teacher is. Is someone who declares God's word consistently. It doesn't veer. They don't veer from what this says. And so that's what you and I have to pay attention to. Is it someone who is veering? Am I someone as a pastor who veers from teaching the Word of God, the full counsel of the Word of God? Am I that person? I don't think I am. I think I'm faithful to study and to teach the full counsel of the Word of God. But you have to make sure that your pastor is. You have to make sure that your teachers are. You have to make sure that when people are talking to you out in at the mall or the grocery store or the gas station, they're talking to you about the Word of God, that it all revolves around Jesus Christ. You got to make sure of that. You got to make sure that they're not adding to or taking away. You're not going to know that if you're not studying the Word of God yourself. You're not. And so these individuals who come in and they say that God is coming back, that the world is going to end December the 21st, 2012, what does the Word of God says? Let me tell you. It says that no man knows the hour or the time. No man. It means none of them. Not even me. I don't know. Why would I stand before you and say that God's going to come back at 3:30 this afternoon if God says that nobody knows the hour or the time? And so you've got to know that. What about these people that say God wants us to drink this poison and he's going to send us a spaceship at the very moment that we close our eyes and we stop breathing? A spaceship is going to come and take us up. We're not going to die. We're going to go straight into that spaceship. What about that? Oh, dear Lord. God didn't tell us to do that. Avoid that. Don't do it. Don't be led astray. And so a good teacher is going to constantly declare the Word of God. A good teacher also is going to be someone who cares for God's people. That's what a teacher of the Word of God is going to do. And I want to tell you, I don't know if you know this, but I love you. I do. I care for you. Your teachers, your Sunday school teachers, they love you. They care for you. Molly loves those students. Brad, I'm going to tell you, Brad loves those students. Brad was on the phone last night consoling. Is this something that you don't know? Last week, what Brad did at 11 o'clock at night after the Super Bowl is he went to a young lady's house because he was worried for her. I mean, you don't know these things. You don't know these things. He loves, he has compassion for those students that God has placed in his life. And so that's how we know if they are teachers from the Word of God or not. And so this morning, as we gather, these false teachers, they teach a lot of different things. They were present in the first century. Listen, they're present today. They're around. They're real. They're here. They exist. They're most of them don't even pretend. They just teach something different than the Word of God. They don't even pretend, most of them. And then some of them come in secretly. But you've got to understand that the Word of God is the most relevant thing to you in your life to be able to know if someone is a real teacher of the Word of God or not. If you want to know what a real teacher of the Word of God is, then you get into the Word of God and you make sure they're proclaiming the full counsel of the Word of God. All of it. From front to back, from beginning to end, from everything in the middle, and that they're not leaving anything out. You're going to have different opinions about some things, but as long as it doesn't take away from what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary, we can agree to disagree on some things. We're not going to agree the same on everything, but here's the deal. You've got to make sure that they're studying this. And so as we gather this morning, so many people, the world we live in today, they claim that there's no such thing as sin. They claim that you can live your life any way you want to as long as it feels good to you.
They claim that you can go out and live the good life and have everything that you want, that sin isn't real, that it doesn't make any difference if you do this or if you do that. I want to tell you, that's not what the Word of God says. And then they say that you can be saved by just being good. That you're going to go to heaven because God's not going to send anyone to hell. Let me say this. God's not going to send anyone to hell. They're going to go on their own accord because they've not trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And this is what the Bible says in Romans 6:23. Says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." And so sin is real. And it's prevalent in the world that you and I live in today. But my question to you today is, are you living in it? Are you living in sin? Or are you living in the Word? Because sin means that we miss the mark. And if you're living in sin and you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, how many times have I shared? Sometimes in this world we're going to be walking and we're going to stumble and we're going to fall face down into sin. It's okay for you to fall face down into sin, but the most important thing is that you get up as quickly as you can, you dust yourself off, and you turn your eyes back to Jesus. That's what you've got to realize. You're going to mess up sometimes. I'm going to mess up sometimes. But we've got to get up, and we've got to refocus and adjust our eyes to see Jesus for who He is. So maybe you're here this morning as we begin to close, and you've been wondering about the Word of God, and you've been wondering maybe about false teachers. I want you to be concerned that they're all around you. But I want you to know that I'm confident that we have those at First Baptist Church who's teaching Jesus Christ as Lord. But you've got to be aware that there are also those who aren't teaching Jesus as Lord. So maybe you're here this morning and you've heard that sin's not real. You've heard that you can go to heaven just by being good. You've heard you could go to heaven just for dying because everybody's going to heaven. I want to tell you, that's not true. You're only going to go to heaven if you've trusted Jesus to be Lord of your life. Lord of your life. Lord is the key word there. It means that He rules, that He reigns. So today I'm asking you, as we've been talking about false teachers and false prophets, today I'm asking you, is Jesus Christ your Lord? Today, is He? And if He isn't, then trust what His Word says. And all who call upon the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be saved. Today, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe Jesus died on an old rugged cross. You believe Jesus rose from the grave. And you believe Jesus desires to save you today. Today, what will you believe? Let's go to the Lord. Father in heaven, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for its power. Thank You for its might. Thank You for its testimony. Lord, thank You that we can see through Your Word of God. And there's so many things that we wonder. We wonder, how can we know if someone is really a believer, a Christ follower or not? Lord, Your Word tells us that we'll know them by their fruits. We'll know them by the way they live their lives. Lord, Your Word tells us also that we can know who a fake teacher is and a faithful teacher is. Father, I pray that if there's even one person here today who's had concern in any way, Lord, that they would find themselves faithful to study Your Word as the Bereans did. Lord, that they would find themselves faithful to seek out Your Word in every area of their lives. And Father, Lord, if there are any decisions that need to be made today, I just pray that You begin to speak to them even now. We ask in Jesus' name.